Vic Carucci, Gerard Cherry, hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford from the Dog Bowl here in Berea. Never get tired of this song, do you?
Never. The rest of America feels that way, too.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's setting all kinds of sales records and such. Dave DiNatale, our producer, with us today, and we are going to be joined in a little bit. And it's your favorite song, too, right, Dean?
You know, it's become a staple of the show. I can't.
A staple.
Yeah, love it.
You love it.
And
well played, J.R. Cherry.
Jim Donovan is going to join us in a little bit. I think it's his favorite song, too. We'll have him weigh on that in about 10 or minutes or so. Get some Browns thoughts from the voice of the Browns. Meanwhile, we'll get some thoughts from a lot of you who have been weighing in on the Brandon Whedon discussion, if it can really be called that. But the fact that the door is not closed regarding whether or not he's the starter of this team, because Rob Chudzinski has pushed it just enough ajar by saying the competition is close there. Let's hear, first of all, from Brandon Whedon and what he says whether he expects to be the starter on opening day.
Well, I mean, I'm confident I'm going to be, but I'm also, I've got to prove it to the other guys, the guys up there upstairs, that I'm the guy. And the only way I can do that is play well and keep continuing to get better.
You can call us 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, or tweet us at Browns_daily with questions and comments. Want to hear what you have to say about Trent Richardson, you could talk about that, but about Brandon Whedon and the starting quarterback job, and if you got anything you want to say. I know a few of you tweeted about Richardson, but we can get to those a little bit later. But, Dino, you got some Whedon tweets for us.
Yeah, I did. You know, put it out there at Browns_daily. Are you concerned, or is it an issue for you that Rob Chudzinski hasn't named a quarterback starter, Brandon Whedon or the otherwise, at this point? David Voorhees at DCV Browns fan. I will be concerned if Chud hasn't named his quarterback starter by the fourth preseason game.
So you will be concerned by then. How about you?
Not at all.
Really?
Because, again, if it's a situation, if everything plays out the way it's going right now,
yeah.
Brandon Whedon's growing. He's showing signs of progress week to week, and he's making good plays, and Campbell and Hoyer are still doing the same things, then that gap remains there. There's no reason to put them ahead of Brandon Whedon. It only becomes an issue when one guy is just, that being Hoyer or Campbell, is just completely outplaying Whedon in practice as well as in the games. Then you have an issue. But if it's not that taking place, there is no issue.
I don't see that. I mean, as we've talked right mm-hmm. now, I watched every practice of training camp this summer. I haven't seen a day where I felt either of the other quarterbacks so dramatically outplayed Whedon that they should be getting the starting job. And these are on days when, and I'm not going to suggest that Whedon has had a perfect camp.
Right.
He's had days. Mm-hmm. He's had clunker days. I don't think he had a lot of clunker days. And I think it's fair to say quarterbacks, even the most accomplished in this league, can have some rough days or rough portions of practice.
They'll have a series.
A series, right.
Right.
So, but with regard to either of those guys surpassing him, I just don't see the evidence of that yet.
Right.
And I'm sitting here saying I don't know that there's any decision to make. It's kind of been made.
Right. At the same time, though, I think it's more of a mental game being played here.
Yeah.
You haven't won anything yet. One game is not going to make us designate you as a starter. We're not going to give you that title quite yet. You're going to have to go out there and earn it, and come time to name it, we'll name it. But right now, as it speaks, no, you're not getting that. And deal with that. And they're not, and that being Chudzinski, Norv Turner, and the rest of the staff, they're not being mean-spirited in this. I think it's a smart way to get a guy ready to play and mentally make him more tough and have something on the back of his mind but still be able to go out there and perform.
And as far as the mean-spirited part of it, mm-hmm. I don't even think that matters either in football.
Unless
they check, coaches can be as mean-spirited as they want to.
But we're in a new day and age, man.
Okay.
Do we even have HR now in football teams?
Yes, you do.
But not actually with the players.
Oh, no. It's other parts of the team. I don't think there's any. I don't think the coach defers to the HR department.
Yeah, because when I got in the real world, Vic, I was like, where was HR when I played for Bill Belichick?
Dino, you got any more tweets?
Yeah, one more from Jack Mitch Cash. Okay. No, I'm not concerned. It's all coach speak.
Okay. That's well put. I think I'm inclined to go there, that it's coach speak, that it's what he kind of has to say. I agree with you, mm-hmm. that make it a head game, a mental game, if it's even that, and if Whedon is even buying into that. But this much Brandon Whedon knows. This much he knows. Not a single person here was his advocate.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who drafted him is gone.
Right.
The guy who coached him in his first practice, gone. No coordinator, nobody from this coaching staff or from this administrative staff that was connected to Brandon Whedon, that believed he could be the long-term answer of this team, is here. And the group that came in, I think it's fair to say, probably wouldn't have made that pick. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their choice, but he's here now. And I also, though, want to hasten to add, they want to try to make it work. They've got to. It's in their best interest to try to make it work.
Right.
But it's on a very tight time scale, and it's this year. It's this year or bust.
Right. And I have no issues and no problems with that. You get 2 years to audition yourself to be an NFL quarterback, you should thank your lucky stars and be on your knees at night saying thank you as well. And one more thing, Vic. Did you notice that in that interview, Whedon, and I take this when I hear players say the guys upstairs, they're talking about the front office.
Yeah.
Because normally you talk about your coaches, you say on the football field, and you put it on that same level.
Right.
But he made a point to say the guys
upstairs.
So he knows who's looking at him, and he knows what's the deal. And I can't fault Joe Banner or Mike Lombardi for saying, prove it to me, right, that I should not go out there and get a quarterback in the first round. But you know what? Even if Brandon Whedon does do well, last time I checked, this is a league that needs two good quarterbacks on this football team. So you still may get a quarterback. But guess what? Life is tough. You have to play on these dynamics and just succeed, and you have no issues and no problems.
Yeah, I you're right. He made a specific point of using that term, and I think that's significant. The understanding that he has, that's what I'm saying. He knows
he
the score.
It. Right.
He gets it. He knows the score. He knows what has happened for however starts with ownership change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's not an ownership change, we're not having this discussion about Whedon, and probably Pat Shurmur's coaching the Browns.
Right.
that's
no problem.
You know, getting his third year to coach the team, because first round quarterbacks generally get more than a couple of years to prove it. It's he's on a tighter schedule than a normal first round pick at the position. Would you go with that?
I would go with that. Now, him being a later first round pick kind of tightens that window and closes that gap.
Yeah.
But yeah, being a first rounder, that makes a difference. But you're totally right, Vic. If Holmgren, Shurmur, and Randy Lerner still owns the football team outright, it's Brandon Whedon's job.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
And we're sitting in a different studio than this beautiful thing here, too. So it's a selfish way to look at it.
And we're not having as good as food, either.
And probably not eating as well. Hey, is Chris – we still got Chris on holder? All right, Chris on a cell. He wants to join us. Chris, what do you got, man?
Guys, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, a couple of things. Mean-spirited only matters if you're a play-by-play announcer commenting on the third quarter of a meaningless exhibition game, right?
Ouch.
Good point.
Yeah, and news to Joe Bann, okay? Joe, we've been tortured for 15 years in this town with football teams. Why don't you just concentrate on what's going on in the field and forget about the rest of it?
Well, thank you for the call, Chris. He is concentrating, though, on what's going on in the field. It's not, and these things are interrelated. What you do as far as upgrades in a building, what you do to enhance fan experience, what you do to make everything first class speaks to your team. And the whole concept of how, and with the investment of Jimmy Haslam as an owner to support this, what kind of organization you're putting together. You've got to do more than just say everything is about getting players and don't worry about the rest. They worry about getting players, but they also worry about getting the right coordinators for those players, the right coaches, the right everything. It's a bigger picture in the NFL today, and it isn't just a Browns thing or a Joe Banner thing. This is how it's done throughout the league. I mean, by the clubs that you would consider high-end, high-standard clubs. You were part of the gold standard in New England.
I've seen both ends of the spectrum,
yeah.
Vic, and let me back you up by saying the following. At the end of the day, is it important that football team wins games and that they produce, and that's what everyone's focusing on? At the same time, like you just described, Vic, if you're going to be that premier organization and get to that next level and be a multiple winning, sustained winning organization and football team, your ticket sales, right. your field staff, your stadium experience, your preseason, off-season experience, all those things are combined to make you a good organization. So you just cannot not pay attention to one, just pay attention to one thing. Because guess what? When you slack off in one area, it's going to rear its head in other areas. And that was one of the problems with this organization last year, is that it was just, okay, football, you guys kind of go do your other thing. So I don't have a problem with Joe Banner having his hands in everything, because as a top executive around here, he's supposed to have his hands in everything.
And not only have your hands in everything, challenge everyone to do it the right way and generate the most revenue you possibly can. That you're in the business, a private business, you're trying to do that. And when you do that, it also helps support your ability to build a stronger team.
And even important, holding people accountable.
Yeah.
Because that has to run throughout the entire organization.
Sure.
When that slacks in one area, trust me, it's going to find its way in the football area. You're not holding people accountable in ticket sales? Guess what? People in the Department of Scouting may fall off. Well, he didn't hold him accountable. I can slack off too. That's important. The key to football is you got to hold people accountable.
No
and if you've got a guy who's willing to do that and tell people like it is and what he expects of them and follows up with that, that is invaluable.
Yeah, and you feel that for sure in this building. All right, Jim Donovan, the play-by-play voice of the Browns on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, is going to join us next. It's Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
In a happy home, I was a king, I had a golden throne.